Well, praise God. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all glad to be in church? Well, I'm glad you showed up. Praise God. Well, get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to the book of Romans, chapter 4 this morning. Now, I want to remind everybody this morning that this is our first Sunday, so we always have communion here after service, and we have an open communion service here at Living Waters Church. Everybody that's a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is welcome to have communion with us here today. And so, kind of start thinking about that and preparing your heart for the end of the service. But I want to preach a message to you this morning that I'm titling Fully Convinced. You know, how many of y'all got some things in life that you're fully convinced of? Raise your hand. You're fully convinced of some things. No? Some of y'all are like, yeah, well, I don't know. I'm just kind of flexible. No? Are there some things in life that you've got that maybe, you know, like it's a toss-up? How many of y'all are fully convinced on one type of a brand of vehicle you'll only buy? Raise your hand. How many of you would buy the best deal? See, we all got some things in life, you know. Like, I'm a diehard one way, but if something came up that looked good enough the other way, mine could be persuaded. Right? We all have things that, have you ever been fully convinced of something that you really thought was right, and then you tried something else and it was better? You know, have you ladies ever baked something and you said, oh, this got to be this, it's got to be Pioneer. And then he found out there was another one that maybe was better or something, you know? Ever had that happen? I think all of us have in life. But there's certain things that we're coming down to in life right now that I really believe with all of my heart that there's certain things that you have to be fully convinced in. And one of them is your relationship with Jesus. And I want to talk about here for a minute and then I'm going to branch off into something. But anyway, we're going to start here this morning in Romans chapter 4. We're going to talk about Abraham just for a second. Now, if you read the history, and I don't want to go back in it for time's sake, and you can go back, Genesis chapter 12, follow the next few chapters up, and you can read about Abraham's life. And he was a man that, the Bible says, God called him out of the country he was in, the Ur of Chaldees. He was actually, they worshiped rocks there. He was a rock worshiper. And somehow or another, God spoke to him and told him if he'd leave all of that foolishness that he was in and come on out and follow him, that he'd make him a father of many nations. Now, you know, like you go back and you read about Noah, you read about Abraham, you read about these men of God who God spoke to, and then they launched out, they left, they left everything they had and went and did it. The disciples had to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They left everything they have to follow him. You know, he didn't show up any different than he does to you and I. Are y'all with me? When Abraham heard God speak to him, he heard God speak to him just like you would hear God speak to you. There was something on the inside of Abraham when he heard God. He knew it was God. He knew that God said, I want you to do this. And he knew he heard God, and he was fully convinced that he had to go. It's pretty big to just pack up and move, right? You got to really be, well, I think I heard God. No, you're not going to move with that. Y'all with me? So anyway, it says in Romans chapter 4, let's look at verse 18, talking about Abraham. Romans 4:18. It says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. If you go back and you read the accounts in Genesis about Abraham, God took him out in chapter 15 and he said, look at all the stars. Look up at the stars and everything you see, the stars, that's how many kids you're going to have. But at the moment he said that, his wife was barren, they'd never had any children, and he was 100 years old. I mean, that's a tough one, folks. Right? But in our lives, we're the same way. We're faced in life with these situations that seem impossible. We're faced in life sometimes with things that we're going for. Then we say, I don't know how you're going to make this work out, God. But you've got to come to this understanding. It's not your job to figure it out. It's your job to put your trust and be fully convinced in God is able to do what he promised you. Now, did God promise you he's going to take care of you? Did he? Doesn't John chapter 10, 29, Jesus said, man, you're in the palm of the Father's hand and ain't nothing going to take you out? Did he not say that? So that means that when you look into the world and the world situations or your situations and you look around at it, you may say, oh my God, what is going on? Lord, what are you doing? How could this be? But there's got to be another element in your life, in your heart, that you're fully convinced of. Well, God, I don't know how you're going to pull it off, Lord, but I'm just fully convinced that you're God and you're able to make it happen. Are y'all with me? See, that's what happens when you get discouraged. You get discouraged because you don't see how it can happen. And discouragement sets in. You say, oh, God. And folks, I'm telling you, none of us are immune to it. But the Bible says Abraham was this guy. He just figured out something. He said, look, I'm not going to figure it out. I'm just going to be fully convinced that what God promised, he can do. That's not denying the facts. That's not being simple-minded. That's not being, a religious freak. That's simply putting your faith and trust in what God said he would do, he will do it. And finding a place of rest in that. I told y'all this month that, you know, I believe I said this last week, and I said it Wednesday night and all. I think I did. Who knows? I had to go back and listen to what I said myself to remember what to say. But I'm telling you what I feel in my heart, God speaking to me, is that this month of December, we need to take a rest. We need to draw into him. We need to quit listening to all the bad and all the negative and dreaming about all the bad and looking at all the negative. And we need to take this month of December. We need to enjoy our families. We need to enjoy Christmas. We need to enjoy celebrating the birth of our Savior. We need to step back for a minute, take a breath, and go back to fighting January. I believe most people right now are tired and discouraged. I believe most people are disgruntled in what's going on in the world. But it has to be something that we have to step back and say, you know, God, you got it under control. I don't know how you're going to work it out. It's a mess. But God, you got it under control. Because if you spend your whole life under stress and under worry and under anxiety, you're just simply going to die and be worthless to the rest of humanity. Now, I'm preaching to myself. Okay? I get these messages. Remember, I got it first, and then I share it with y'all. Okay? This is how I live my life. I live my life a lot of times like a roller coaster. At one moment, I'm like, ah! And then I'm stopping and say, what am I doing? Okay, get hold of yourself. What are we thinking? And then I'm like, ah! Y'all with me? I know y'all just flat level people never have a bobble in life. Pastor's got some problems come up now and then. Okay, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. And I want to teach you this morning about how you're going to enter into some rest, how you're going to get yourself fully convinced, what you can do. I feel like preaching and telling you about it is not any good unless I can tell you how to do it. And then it's up to you. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. It says, therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, Yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. The answer to entering into this rest of God is you have to be renewed inside. You can go to a spa. May make you feel good. You can get your fingernails polished. You can do whatever you want to do. You can fluff up the outside. But if the inside of you is in pain and is rotten, it ain't going to make much difference what you did on the outside. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be ugly. But, you know, you can, and I'm not picking on you ladies. It's just easier to use you ladies. Men, they don't, you know, if you just cut the hair out of your ear, you're doing good, you know, so. Ladies, thank God, work harder to make themselves look nice. But you know what I'm saying? You can go get your hair touched up, but it ain't going to do you any good if your heart's sick. Hello? Are y'all with me? Is that plain enough? What we need to do is be renewed in our souls, because it's in our souls where we get discouraged and we start looking at everything and we lose our confidence and we lose our faith, and it's down in our soul. If you feel happy on the inside, boy, I'll tell you, you can accomplish anything. So we got to learn how to be renewed. Renewed down in our souls, renewed in our spirits. Y'all with me? Okay, so he says here in 2 Corinthians 4:16, he says that the inward man needs to be renewed day by day. It's not you came to church on Sunday and then you can make it to the next Sunday. No, it's day by day you've got to be getting some input. It's day by day you got to be getting a dose of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you to keep you going. It's day by day you need a word from the Lord to come into your life and destroy the negativity that's coming up against you in the world. Y'all with me? Okay. So before I can tell you how to be renewed day by day, I had to tell you the hindrances to being renewed. Y'all with me? So here's your hindrance to being renewed. All right? You got a kink in your heart. You got a twist. It keeps the renewal from going in there, and I want to show you how to fix it. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Jesus is getting on to the religious crowd here. Matthew 12, 34, it says, he starts out, he says, "Brood of vipers." I want y'all to know, if you go back and you research that, brood of vipers. You know, I would never use that today. I would never be in an argument with somebody and say, brood of vipers. It doesn't fit in our language today, right? In the day that Jesus said it, I want you to know, that was some strong language. That was some strong language that he laid down on them. It says, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men speak, they shall give an account of in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. He said, look, the problem that you've got, talking to those guys that day, he said, the problem is your heart's twisted. There's something wrong in your heart. There's something wrong down on the inside of you. Now, church, listen to me. Through the problems, the cares, the wounds, the bruises, the things and the issues that happen in life, it affects our heart. Someone's let you down. Somebody's disappointed you. Somebody's done something wrong. Somebody's spoken to you. Somebody has cheated you. Somebody's lied to you. Somebody's done something to you. Somebody's abused you. Whatever. It hurts your heart, your soul down on the inside of you. And if your heart is not repaired and your heart is not fixed, what happens is it gets a kink in it. It gets twisted, and then the renewal that God wants to give you every day, it doesn't ever reach the place it's supposed to. So God, it's like God's poured it in the sink, but the sink ain't draining. Because you got problems. There's something happened. This happens to all of us. Okay? But the key is here is not letting the twisted heart stay twisted, but getting healed and letting your heart open so that God can come in there and fill it and renew you so you can have joy, you can have peace, and you can go through this world facing the tribulation that you walk through with joy in your heart. Hello? Okay. Another scripture I want to give you. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, 13. Matthew 13, 13 says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. For in them the prophecies of Isaiah fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and you shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them." Now I want to make this statement to you. You ought to write it down. What you see and what you hear determines what you think. I'm going to say that again. What you see and what you hear determines what you say and what you think. I'm going to say it again. I want you to get it. What you see and what you hear is going to determine what you say and what you think. The first key to getting the kink out of your heart is to look at what you're seeing and what you're hearing. If what you're seeing, what you're laying your eyes on, what you're letting go through and filter into your life is a bad report, is always a bad report, then what's going to turn around and come out of your mouth is a bad report. If you're with somebody that's singing the old song, "Doom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Doom, despair, and agony on me." And you hang around them along, you know what you're going to do? You're going to pick up and you're going to start singing the words of that song. Right now, one of the problems we have in America and is the news, the internet, the everything that we have to be inundated with everything that goes on. Somebody sneezes, it's all over the internet. Okay? Now, I believe we need to be informed. I believe we need to know what's going on. I believe it's an age of information we need to look at. But I want to tell you something. If you immerse yourself in the negativity of what's going on in the world, it's going to affect your life. I want information so I can pray. I want information so I can say, "Father, I thank you right now that, you know, you need to move through our military. There needs to be an awakening in our military, God. Open up their people's eyes, let them see. You know, something goes wrong. Say, Lord, I mean, I've already been praying. You know, you've got to move in our government. Things that are going on." I use it as an information to pray over, right? But if you just immerse yourself in it before long, you're going to get so negative, you're going to get so discouraged, you're going to look at everything in life and say, "Man, there is no God. He must have fallen off the throne." And you do not have confidence in anything. I have to get out my Bible and read and look, even like at the book of like Ezekiel, where it says, "And the glory of the Lord came and filled the temple." And I'm like, "Yeah. That's my God. A valley full of dry bones, and God spoke and it breathed over them and they came to life." I have to go read about the Red Sea parting and the dead rising and the blind seeing. And then I'm like, "Yeah, that's my God. They don't know what they're messing with. That's bigger than a nuke." You know, I like to read the stories and like Jesus walking in and just ruining a good funeral. I mean, that guy already paid for all the mourners. They got the weeping and the wailing going on. And Jesus comes into town, ruins a good funeral, walks up to the coffin, touches the boy. Boom, he's alive. Says, here's your son. I mean, funeral's over with. I like to think about my Jesus that just told everybody to leave and go on because it didn't make any difference if he had a boat or not. He'd just walk on the water. I don't believe those as just bedtime stories. I know those, and I'm fully convinced that's my God. And I'm fully convinced that my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond I can even think or ask by the power of my prayer. I sometimes have to shake myself and say, what are you thinking? Because I get caught up in the negativity of life, and it causes me to change the way I'm thinking and what I'm saying. When my kids are small, they used to sing that song. I know I'm going to sing it wrong because I always sing it wrong. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Hoo-hoo. Right? And I'd go march around the room with my kids and say, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. See, we have to be this way because I'm telling you, what you see and what you hear determines what you say and what you think, okay? Now, what you say, you can write this down, and think determines how or determines you being renewed. What you say and what you think determines how you're being renewed. Let me say it that way. What you say and what you think determines how you're being renewed. Because if you're saying and thinking the negative, then the renewal that's going on in you is negative. You're being renewed and stirred up into the old man. You're being restirred up to the guy that's made out of dirt. The old ways, the old habits. So, we got to look at this. What are we seeing? What are we looking at? What are we letting our eyes fall upon? How are we looking at it? Now, see, when you get your heart twisted, what happens if you don't get out of that, you don't get healed in it, you don't get out of it, what happens is you begin to see everything negative. So somebody stole from you, so then everybody's a thief. Somebody lied to you, so everybody's a liar. You start to see everything in a negative light if you're not healed. Good preaching. You say, yeah, but I'm right. No, if you stay in it long enough, what happens is you deceive yourself. See, if you stay in the lie long enough, then you deceive yourself and lie to yourself. That's dangerous. Because you say, there's nothing wrong with me. The problem is with everybody else in the world. If you have that philosophy, I'm just going to just share a little thought with you. I'm sorry, you're probably deceived. You know, if masses of humanity have to change to line up with what you think, and all your friends tell you you're wrong, you know, you just need to stop and take a little look. You just take a little look at yourself. Okay? That's what you need to do. Now, the key is getting healed. Because see, when you get healed and you take it to God, you take the hurt and the pain to Jesus and you lay it at His feet. And He said, Lord, I got this. This is what happened to me. This is the way I feel. See, a lot of people always try to talk to Jesus like in King James talk. And that doesn't work. You know, oh Lord, who this sitteth in the heavens, helpeth thine me, please. I just go to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, man, I am mad as hell. I have no good thoughts, Lord. Murder is on the tip of my tongue. I'm sick of this. Man, Lord, burn them, smoke them, kind of fire on them. And He sits there and listens to me. Because eventually I want to work myself around to the to the point where I said, Lord, I know I'm wrong. I know I shouldn't think like this. Lord, okay, can you fix me? Can you heal me? Can you show me? Give me something. Can you speak to me, Lord? I know I'm going down the wrong path and it comes to you. But that's what you got to do. That's life. I've learned I want to be healed in my heart because the bitterness and resentment from the people that are in this world that are going to do you wrong, if you don't get healed of it, you get a twisted heart. And if you get a twisted heart, you cannot be renewed. And I would rather have the renewal and the presence of God coming into my life and setting me free than I would rather be proven to that person that I was right. It's not easy, but I just know, man, I like the good stuff. I got to tell you all this. I guess that's kind of could be a deception too. Sometimes what I think's good, other people don't think's good. But I like the good things. I like to eat well. I like good food. I don't want to just eat out of a can. Are y'all with me? Are y'all feel the same way? I mean, there's some things I like good. I want the best from heaven. I don't want something out of a can that I got to warm up. It does sort of bother me when I eat out of a can and what I'm eating looks like a can. Have y'all ever noticed that? If you get refried beans and you get them out of the can and they're sitting there and they look just like a can. Got the rings around it and everything. I'm like, I don't know. This just doesn't seem right. Are y'all with me on that one? I love cranberry sauce, but I noticed that the other day about it. I don't like the way cranberry sauce looks when it's just sitting there. Looks just like the can. So I'm like, I don't know, that just can't be right. Beans should be in a pot. Okay? So if you stay in this negativity, what's going to happen is what you see can get slanted, so you see everything negative. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You have got to learn to set your face and your eyes upon God's word and his promises. You've got to learn to allow yourself to look at God's word and say, no, this is what's right. Because I want to tell you something. The Bible says the Word of God's alive. It's fast. It's got the ability to jump off those pages and jump into your heart. But if you look at what's seen, you're always going to say, oh my God, how are we going to get away from this? This is horrible. But if you look at the Word of God, you're like, wow, I guess we'll walk on the sea, Lord. I guess, Lord, this is cool. I guess this is the way you're going to do it. You're going to breathe your breath in here and everything's going to turn around. You got to look at it. If not, what you see is going to start to affect what you say. All right? Now, another scripture here. Go to Romans chapter 10, verse 16. Romans 10, 16. Okay, what you see and what you hear, right, determines what you say and what you think. Romans 10:16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you let me put it in South Texas, it says faith comes from hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. That's where you get faith from, is hearing, hearing, and hearing the word of God. Okay, so if what you see and what you hear affects what you say and what you think, then that means if you turn yourself on to looking at God's word and hearing God's word, then it's going to come into your life and faith is going to come in there and it's going to heal the wound or whatever's got your heart twisted so that you can start the renewal process. I mean, it's really simple. It's really simple. We make it complicated. Mostly because we whine and complain and don't want to get it taken care of. How many times have we had our children have a thorn in their finger and they're crying because the thorn's in there, but when you go to pull it out, they're like, oh, no, don't. Oh, God, don't do that. And you're like, no, we're going to pull it out and it's going to quit hurting. No, oh, God, don't pull it out. Right? And you're like, this is going to be better for you. No. You finally got to sit on them, you know, and get both of you in there and fight them down to pull it out. Right? And your mind says, that doesn't make any sense. Stop it. But to them, it's going to hurt. So then I don't want it. We Christians are just like that. We don't want to go to Jesus and say, Lord, I got this problem. Could you get this? Could you take this out of my heart? Because we're still just like a kid. We're like, oh, God, no, it's going to hurt. That's what we're doing. Right? I mean, we just don't want to go to Dr. Jesus and get him to heal it, fix it, because we just know it's going to hurt. It's going to cost us something. So we'd rather walk around with bad vision and death. Right? With our seeing and our hearing. Husbands, wives, listen to me. If all you see is the thing that your wife did to you, or what you did to your wife, or the argument you had, and what they said and they said, and here, and you've been remembering it for 20 years, and you always see that, you're going to always be mad at them. Unless you're in the case like my wife, where, you know, she lives with perfection and she doesn't have any problems. Somebody help me hold this pulpit together before it splits. Yeah, she's getting a big laugh. I really made a big boo-boo the other day. But if you always remember that, then you know that's what's going to happen. That's all you begin to see. And then if you get really to be a master at it, then you begin to see that in others. And then you begin to make the whole world focus around that. And then that's all you see. And then your world, your paradigm, is based on the wound in your heart and how you see the world. So, what you see and what you hear, it's got to be changed. It's got to become into the things of God. Okay? So, let me give you just two more scriptures here. Maybe three. But just two for right now. James chapter 3, verse 1. You need to go read the whole chapter 3 for time's sake. James chapter 3 talks about your tongue. And it says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall all receive stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man. He's also able to bridle the whole body. Remember, I'm just saying, what you see and what you hear is going to affect what you say and what you think. So if you start listening to what you're saying out of your mouth, then that is what you're feeding on. All right? It's like this. If you hang around Jesus, he said, yeah, I'm sorry, there's some bad times coming. We are going into some tribulation times and some tribulation years. But won't worry about it, because when I come back, when the Antichrist, the biggest, baddest person on the face of the earth, just sees me, he just becomes dust. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Dust. Like that. Then that helps me focus on that, not the Antichrist. Y'all with me? That's the way you have to live. But if you focus on the bad, then all you're doing is going around out of your tongue, loosing doom, despair, and agony will mean. I just know life. Life is not always easy. I don't care how we cut it. If I could find a place where it was Easyville, I'd go there. But we are in utopia. Right? So James, the whole chapter of James is talking about your tongue, and if you can just bridle your tongue. But just listen to what you're saying. I mean, literally, folks, you can find your own, you can self-diagnose yourself. Just listen to what comes out your mouth. And then just be humble enough to say, ooh, that's kind of garbage coming out of my mouth. I shouldn't be talking like that. That wasn't very good. Lord, forgive me. You're self-diagnosing yourself. You go to the throne then and say, Jesus, man, I got problems. There's something down inside my heart. Help me get this out of here. Okay? So that's going to affect, you've got to affect what you say. Okay. And then Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 talks about what we're going to meditate on. Okay? It's a great chapter. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Something you ought to just hang on your wall and read every day to remind yourself what you got to do. The very first word says, be anxious for nothing. I mean, there right there is a good place for us all to start, because I know I sometimes get anxious for things. Something to happen. But it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and you've heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So what you're saying and what you're thinking, if you're dwelling on the right things because of what you're seeing and what you're hearing, brings peace in your life. If you don't have peace, something wrong with your heart. So you got to get your heart healed. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Last scripture, and then we're going to have communion this morning. You say, okay, preacher, I kind of got what you're saying, but what do we do about it? You know, I'm gotten to be a pretty big bucket mouth, and I'm slaying cities with my tongue, and I know there's something wrong and I need to change, but what do I do? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. It says, come to me, Jesus is speaking. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. You got to come to Jesus. You got to have some Jesus time. That's what you're going to do to heal your heart. That's what you're going to do to fix what's going on in life. You got to come to Jesus. You got to humble yourself and be willing to just go up there and bow your knee before Him and say, Lord, I need some help. And when you do, that simple thing, and that gives Him the opportunity to move into your life. Gives Him the opportunity to come in and help you. Fix your heart. To change maybe the negative way you're seeing and speaking. You'll be amazed, folks. I'm telling you what, you'll be amazed. When your mouth changes and when your seeing changes. How much joy can fill your heart. How much peace can come into your life. It's amazing to me in just every little aspect of my life. I've always been the person that, because of everybody I was raised around, that it's a disaster. When it's really not a disaster, but that's the way it was all said to me. And I can't say what was said that was the phrase that I was raised around, but it was all shot to, you know what. That was what everything was. Didn't make any difference. You had a flat tire. It was ruined. But it may just have a nail in it, but that didn't make any difference. That's just the way it was. Everything was its worst case scenario. You know, the motor died. Well, it must, you know, must have thrown a rod or crankshaft broke when it really was just out of diesel. You see what I'm saying? It was always, it just was, I don't know why. But that's just the way I was. It came into me in life. And I developed that it was always the worst. And even all of my years that I've walked with Jesus, I've gotten better and gotten better, but I still find areas of my life that I still, my first thought would be the negative way. Not really the negative way, but it's just whatever the problem is, it's the worst. And I'm just learning. It's been so cool to be on a journey with Jesus, to turn every little thing over to Him and say, okay, Lord, it looks really bad to me. I don't even want to look in that direction. It looks really bad, Lord. But You're going to bail me out somehow. Somehow You're going to do it. I don't know how. You're going to bail me out. You're going to bail this thing out. You're going to make it work. I don't know what we're going to do, but You're going to do something. And then He does it. And then it builds my confidence. And I hate to admit it, but my first thought is still usually negative. But I'm getting better. I'm defeating some areas in my life, and I'm getting better. And I'm starting to look at it. But why? Because of what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing. It's changing what I'm saying, what I'm thinking. Amen? So you got to do the same. So ladies, can y'all bring down the communion, please? Like I said earlier, we have an open communion service here. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we want you to have communion with us. If you're in here today and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you just don't, or maybe you're just not sure. You know, I'll tell you all this. I spent, a lot of years, probably 18 years, sitting in a church. I could repeat the Apostles' Creed. I could repeat the Lord's Prayer. I could repeat the 23rd Psalms, but I had no relationship with Jesus. I was only going through the motions of what my godly parents had taught me, but it was not real to me. Jesus wasn't real. And I don't want to ever have a church service or a communion service where somebody would come into church and you know, maybe you're just going through the motions. Maybe everything I've said today doesn't make a hill of beans to you, or doesn't make a bit of sense to you, because it's Jesus isn't real to you. And if you're that person, then I just want to challenge you today. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in Jesus. Ask Him to come into your life and change your life. Ask Him to come and be a part of your life and desire to be fully convinced and fully confident on the inside of your heart that you know that you know that if you were to die, you're going to go to heaven. That's an amazing thing, folks. It's an amazing thing to be able to know that if I died, I close my eyes at night and I don't wake up in the morning, I told my wife, don't worry about me. I'm just going to feel sorry for you because I am in the streets of gold, sliding down the streets in my socks, having the greatest time of my life. And I used to couldn't say that because I was only religious. I didn't have a relationship with Him. So if you're here, church, listen to me, and you're not sure of your salvation, well, here in just a minute, we're going to have communion. We're going to have a prayer team up here. And I want you to just, it's your opportunity Just walk up to one of them, grab their hands and say, I want you to pray with me. I want to be assured of my salvation. I want to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Because the Bible promises us that. It said if you'd confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you just set your direction in motion. Amen? And so can I have my prayer team and my pastoral team come down so I can serve y'all communion, and then y'all can help me serve everybody else? The Bible says on the night that Jesus was betrayed, that he took bread and that he blessed it and that he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, now take and eat, for this is my body which is broken for you. Church, if your heart's broken, if your life's full of negativity because this world's not been easy for you, right here in this loaf of bread is the power of God to come into your life and to heal you. To come into your life and set you free. Don't miss this opportunity to take that walk down that aisle and come up here this morning and receive communion and let the Master touch your heart. By faith, grab hold of what's in this bread for you. And I promise you, you'll never be ashamed. Jesus will come into your life and he'll take all your brokenness and he'll make you whole again. Afterwards, the Bible says he took the cup, and when he had given thanks for it, he said, this cup is a new covenant. It's in my blood. It's poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Church, if you're in here today and you feel guilty, you feel convicted of something you've done in life, here's your answer. The Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins because of his blood. When you come down here to take communion, repent. Let the forgiveness of Jesus Christ come into your life and wash your soul. Set you free. Change your heart. Let the power of God come upon you and touch you and let you see things differently in life because your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. So, Lord, we thank you for this. We praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now, church, just get your hearts prepared while I serve these so they can serve you.